Okay. This is going to be our last session before Pesach, because next week we'll be busy cleaning out the chametz. So that's why we're going to dedicate today's shiur to the unsung hero of Pesach, the chametz. Right? You know, it's trying to understand a little bit why it's not just, usur to eat it, right? It's not just that it's prohibited to eat it, but you're not even allowed to have it around. There's a positive commandment, asay of tajbisu, to destroy chametz, and there's two negative commandments about even having it around. Lo yiroa v'lo yimotze. It should not be seen, is one negative commandment, and should not be, right? And it should not even be in your possession. And I said, what is this thing about chametz? Not just don't eat it, don't even have it, should not even be a part of your life for 7 days. And this was discussed cursorily in the Derech Hashem, and he had an entry on this, and we're going to go a little bit deeper based on what's written elsewhere, going a little more of a penetrating analysis of what's so evil about chametz. And what matzah is by comparison. You know, the interesting thing is, chametz and matzah are virtually the same word. Right? Mem tzadi. They both have, mem tzadi, which, I'll drop you a hint. We'll develop this further along. Those are two very key words in the word mitzvah. Right? Mem tzadi.
Okay, so here
it's very easy to change a ches into a hey. And the Zohar points this out. Break it. Just make a break where on by the left leg, where the left leg, just make a break there.
The Americans, my name is Haya, and they say Haya all the time.
Now, there's actually a Lashon in Zohar like that, the Ches Itbar, the Ches was broken, and God made from Chametz Matzah. And what does it say? And we'll discuss this in greater depth. But that's Mamash Lashon Chazal. It talks about the process was smashing the ches of chametz and then making it a hay, and now it spells matzah. Right, and then 6 weeks later, Pesach is for 1 week. 6 weeks later, right? So you add another six. That's a vav. Then it's mitzvah. So it goes chametz to matzah to mitzvah. That's the whole metamorphosis from Yitzias Mitzrayim until Matan Torah. Chametz, matzah, mitzvah. It's all in the Zohar. And we'll discuss that in just a second. Right, just trying to make sense at the critical difference between chametz and matzah is a ches versus a hay. Right, and now of course also there's also the issue of where you put the ches. Ches is the difference is a ches is at the beginning of chametz, whereas the hay of matzah is at the end. Right, and we'll explain, the cosmic code that's going on, the change in cosmic code that there was. So where the cosmic DNA changed. The programming used to be chametz, and then the programming shifted from chametz to matzah. And yeah, I'm okay. Just very tired. It's okay, I'm doing good. Anyway, to understand, thank you. Right. To Chazal say, Rashi brings this in Chumash. Right, that on the Pasuk, Elu Todos Hashemayim V'Arts Bihi Boram. It's in second Aliyah of it's in Sheni of Parshas Bereishis. Right, this is the story of heaven and earth when they were created. So I do believe Rashi brings a Chazal. That, but it's a Chazal whether Rashi brings it or not. All right, Bihi Boram, Behei Braam. With Hey, God created the world. The higher world is created with Yud. The lower realms are created with Hey. The higher realms. That's Chazal say on the pasuk that we say in davening. The pasuk, Bitchu Bashem Adeyad. Ki beka, in the name Yud Hey, Tzur Olamim, with the name Ka, Yud and Hey, Tzur Olamim, God fashioned worlds, plural. With the Yud, he fashioned the higher world, and with the Hey, he fashioned the lower world. All right, and the Gemara Menachos talks a great deal about how the letter Hey, you know, so represents, you know, life in this world. You know that, you know, first of all, it's wide open on the bottom, easy to fall out, easy to drop out, but you have the opening on the side they could get back in with doing tshuva. Right? And you know, and there's much to add, you know, to this. Right? You know, a way to draw a hay is dalid, make a dalid, and then make a yud. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's of very great significance, right? That dalid, 4, represents, you know, the different directions you can go on a flat plane, on a flat surface, like the world, like ground on the ground. You could move forward, backwards, right, left. And we're taught in physics that any other direction will be a combination of those 4 prime directions. Now, of course, the challenge is, you know, to, you know, if you are off center, let's say you're north of center, so you'll go south. If you're south of center, you'll go north. If you're to the left of center, you'll go right. And if you're to the right of center, you'll go left. That's ideally what you should do. You should always want to be where you're meant to be. Right, but you know, the challenge is that, you know, just like you could walk towards, you could walk away. You could walk, deviate from center to the north, deviate from center to the south, deviate from center to the west, deviate from center to the east. Right? That's the challenge of this world. So now, you know, the Yud, we said, is what God created the higher world with. Right? So now, everyone knows the famous Mishnah in Avos. Ha'olam hazeh domer leprozdor b'fnei olam haba. This is a hallway to olam haba. The higher world, which is created with Yud, olam hazeh should be the walkway towards. So the 4 directions of this world, the Dalet, should lead to the Yud, and hence Hey, Dalet and Yud. Right? We should use olam hazeh and our ability to navigate ourselves, that we, in this world, we're granted free will to choose our direction in life. We should be walking towards the Yud. That should be the center. The center of our lives should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The center of our lives should be to make it to Olam Haba. Like the Ramchal writes in his very, very, very first chapter in Mesilas Yesharim, man was created for Olam Haba. Lazeh yasim kol mabato umegamto, put your goals. Total orientation should always be, you should always be Olam Haba oriented. So it should be that if you find yourself too far to the right, go to the center, too far left, go to the center, too far up, go down to the center, too far down, go up to the center, right? But yeah, of course, you know, the way it works in life is your ability to walk toward free will. The way your ability to walk towards is also your ability to walk away. But the challenge is that you'll walk towards and not walk away. All right? That's all represented in the hay. All right? And it's, there's another drasha of Chazal on this, on that, that Rashi brings right there on that pasuk. El Dosh Marad's Behi Bar'am Bischus Avraham. The world is created, heaven and earth is created in the honor, in the merit of Avraham Avinu. Right? And you know, Avraham Avinu got that letter Hey added to his name. And these are not these. We're connecting the dots over here. This is all interconnected. Oh, it's no coincidence. Avraham Avinu's mission starts with the words Lech Lecha, walk. Right? You know, Avraham Avinu tried to change the world, and even though he didn't succeed, called the Nefesh Asu Becharon, fried out one generation later, but his efforts were not in vain. Right, but and as we're going to explain, his efforts came to fruition with Yitzias Mitzrayim, and this is invoked in the Haggadah. Baruch Shomer Avtocha LeYisrael Shakosh Baruch Hu Chishaves Haketz Kamo Sheomer LaAvram Avinu Yadoa Teda Kiger Yezarcha Beretz Olam VaAvonos Avraham VaAchrei Chen Yetzu Baruch Hu Shkodeh. We say in Haggadah, blessed be God, that God upheld his promise to Avraham Avinu, that, and Avraham Avinu already got the prophecy that we would go down to Mitzrayim and then be liberated. Really, that what Avraham Avinu fought for, you know, he didn't see it come to fruition in his own days. It came to fruition with Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'm going to explain this, but what did Avraham Avinu fight for? You know, Chazal, and we've mentioned, invoked this Chazal many times. We've had it in the Derech Hashem. Chazal divide up world history into three eras. Alpaim Tohu, 2,000 years of void. Alpaim Torah, 2,000 years of Torah. And Alpaim Mashiach, 2,000 years. I mean, Mashiach was really supposed to have a 2,000 year empire. But because of our sins, you know, how much time does he have left? Oh my God, right? Not much, right? But he was meant to have a 2,000-year empire, you know, by design. 2,000 years of Mashiach, right? But what interests us, you know, for tonight's, today's discussion, I'm seriously jet-lagged, right? For today's discussion, right, is that, you know, the shift from Tohu to Torah, which if you look on a timeline, that's Avraham Avinu. He was born in the year 1948. And, you know, when he starts, you know, he grows up, he starts preaching, you know, it's roughly at the year 2000 is when his ministry gets started. But like we said, this really only comes to fruition some 400 years later when we really get Torah from God by Yitzias Mitzrayim. But, you know, it technically starts with Avraham Avinu, you know, fighting with the whole world.
What year was that?
1948.
Was when he was born. Which means, that's why you understand that, you know, he was... 400 years later is when the Torah was actually given. But, you know, this was... The Avos, we've mentioned this a few times, were precursors. Masa, Simul, Abonim, they were precursors. They laid down steps. They laid down a seed that only germinated, you know, and came to fruition 400 years later with Yitzias Mitzrayim and with Matan Torah. 400 years later, 400 years from the time of Yitzchak was born. I said 400 years later.
How do you count? I mean, you know, the guy
who counts. Yes. Now I'm counting from the years of Hebrew years, you know. When I say 1948, that means 1948, you know, like this year is 5777.
All right,
so 1948. When he was born, you know, he started preaching the year 2000. So that's where he started preaching, but he was only preaching. It didn't take root You know, he tried, you know, but he failed. He failed in his own day, but it wasn't for naught because it came to fruition 400 years later. So the process that he started, as where it's, I call it that, we should look at it like this. The Avos planted seeds. Those trees grew 400 years later with Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And that's the correct way to look at it. That's what it means, Masa Avos Simin Labanim. You know, I mean, everything they did was just like plant seeds, which came to, which germinated and blossomed, you know, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, with Yetzias Mitzrayim and, right? But, so now, it's all about hey, right? Behei Braham, Bischus Avraham, and Avraham Vinu got that letter added to his name. And like we said, you know, what the letter hey represents, aside from the challenges, but for all the challenges, there's the opportunity of tshuva, right? It also represents walk towards the center, because that's what Olam Hazeh is about. It's the prosdor, latraklin, it's the hallway to the ballroom. Olam Hazeh is the ballroom, and is the walkway, the hallway. Avraham Avinu's, you know, mission starts with the word lech lecha. And he did a lot of walking. And that's what, you know, Jewish law is called halacha. All right, walking. Because it's all about you use your mitzvahs to progress towards Olam Haba. We're walkers. You know, now this is all good and well when you have a hay. So now you could figure out yourself what it means, the significance that, as the Zohar says, that before Avraham Avinu tried, And even after he tried, it wasn't fully fulfilled, right? The hay was sealed, and the hay was a ches. This is Zohar. Right. Now, you understand what that means? Sealed box. As we're going to learn, the ches is the bread box. I'm going to explain. It's the bread box. We've got to break out of the bread box. Right. Totally sealed. So that means, first of all, if you fall out, you can't do tshuva. No way back in. We said that the break, you know, up there between the leg of the hay, that's where you get back in with tshuva. No break. No way back in. But also sealed, you know, that doesn't break up into these two components, the dalet and the yud, the four ways that you could walk, and yud, which is the goal, I just want to walk towards Olam Haba. None of that applies. You know, there's no map. You know, it's a closed box. It's a closed box. Now, further, you know, in understanding the significance of the letter Ches. Now, if you ever saw how it's written in a Torah scroll or in a Tefillin, now the way we draw a Ches, it's not Ma'akev, but the ideal, the correct way to draw a Ches is that it has a roof. Like, I mean, it's not flat on top, but rather it's still sealed. It's still sealed, but, you know, it's
like
a point.
A triangle,
as a triangular roof, as two legs and a triangular roof. Right? And the Gemara says, also in Menachos, you know, what does it represent? It represents that, you know, that God is Chai Hu Berumo Shalom. God lives high up. Ches as in Chai. Chai Hu Berumo Shalom. God lives in the highest place in the world, as it were. So now, you take a look. Avraham Avinu, you know, met, you know, the greatest tzaddik, perhaps, that preceded him. He met Malki Tzedek, who was Shem ben Noach, when he liberated Sdom, right, to liberate Lot. So, you know, his encounter with Malki Tzedek, who was Shem ben Noach, Vuhu Kohen Lekel Elyon. Melchizedek was a priest for the God on high. You know, again, alluding to Chayu Berumo Shel Olam. Now, Kel Elyon, you know, it's true. I mean, God is way above us. But if that's the only revelation, we're in dire straits, because we need God in the world also. We need God in the world also. And that's when Malki Tzedek realizes that Avravinu outdid him, and that the mantle of leadership, spiritual leadership, should pass to Avram Avinu. He says, when he sees Avram, Boruch Avram Lekel Elyon Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. Blessed be Avram to Kel Elyon, who owns heaven and earth. That's what Avram Avinu revealed. God is here in this world also. And that's what it means. Whenever Avram Avinu went preaching, you'll see the Chumash says, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. He called out the name of God of the world. They worship Kel Elyon. The tzaddikim that walked the earth before Avram Avinu served the God on high. They did not serve God of the world. Well, let's just ask a simple question. Avram Avinu, you know, put his life on the line and went preaching. Why didn't Noach do that? Why didn't Shem and Aver do that? Yeah, listen, you know, they sat in their corner. You want to hear what we have to say, you're invited. You know, if not, you know, so long. So now, of course, you know, as far as, you know, the difference of Avram's personality versus their personality, so the Rambam already says, regarding the difference in personality, which, but I want to talk about the cosmic difference, but as far as difference in personality, the Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvot, because Avram Avinu was consumed with love of Hashem that they didn't have. They were big philosophers, and perhaps they're very virtuous. Avram Avinu had a burning love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you have a burning love, you want other people to love the one that you love. So you go without preaching. You know, but that was the difference in Avram Avinu's personality, right? From the personality of Shem Vaver. But there's also to understand their mentality and their perception of reality. Right? Shem Vaver looked at the world as a sealed box. It's hopeless. Right? You know how people are. You can't get through. There's no one to talk to. No getting through to anybody. Yeah, there's a God, and he's up there. He's not revealed down here. We're not going to waste our time trying to talk people into, hey, we're not going to waste our time. You know, the truth seekers will find us.
So then how did Avram send his kids there? I'm saying to learn there.
These guys had Chidushim, and they had ideas in the Midah called Kel Elyon, which is also true. They didn't have Kone Shemayim V'aretz.
So, what you're saying is Avram is the first person who dealt with Kiruv.
Yeah, but it's also that he, one would say that he was, one would argue, the people of his, the tzaddikim of his generation, like Shem Vaver, would say he was not a realist. Right, the guy does just not understand the world we live in. Right, and so, you know, there's no revelation of the divine here. There is a God, but he's Elyon. He's up there. And then also their way of serving God, you know, the Radziner explains, they didn't do anything like Sudas Mitzvah or things like that. They didn't. They used to just fast and meditate, because, you know, there is no God here, I mean, revealed here. Right, so you have to fast and meditate and have, you know, transcendental experiences. You know, where Avram Avinu clearly is, you know, at least made the statement vis-a-vis himself, even though he couldn't change the world. Right, was he got bris milah? Here, you could do a mitzvah with your own flesh. I'm sure Avram Avinu fasted when necessary, but we know he was into eating, right? Achnasas Orchim, and so Chazal had said, you know, he ran such a kitchen, so like 70 sheep a day, Avram Avinu was fine. God's here, right? But they viewed, no, God, you know, God created the world, but God is not, you know, revealed here. They had the Ches perspective. This world is sealed off from God. And God is Chayhu Barumo Shel Olam. And that's everything that's represented by the Ches. What's represented by the Hay is that you could find God from within this world. Find God from within this world.
Now, how does Zohar reconcile the Medrash talking about Kain doing the tshuva?
Right. Yeah. Well.
I don't understand the question.
Okay, so okay, the what's kind of tshuva. I mean, and he got a discount.
A kind of tshuva. That's the thing that Adam's talking to him, right? They're walking.
Kind of, yes.
They're walking. Said, "How'd you get here?"
And
he said, "I did tshuva." He said, "If I knew that, I would have done tshuva."
All right, fine. So there's a. So here, so there is a. You know, first of all, the desperate man tries everything, right? What he believes in and what he doesn't believe in. Number one, you know, Cain tried everything. Number two is that there is also, on a deeper level, there is a difference between, you know, you say sorry, so you get a commuted sentence, and there's also putting things right. You know, the tshuva of, like, really rewriting history and expunging the chet, that wasn't revealed yet. He got a... He just got a commuted sentence, but he didn't put his sin right. All right. You know, the full power of tshuva has not been realized yet.
Wasn't Cain in a whole different generation with a whole different madriga?
Yeah.
I mean, he was not part of... I mean, he was... Adam and Chava. I mean, that's a whole different generation.
No, what Rebbe Chava was saying was that this... That the hay, with Aaron coming into the world, that the hay...
Yeah, you can't have children without the hay, but still, I think we have to divide Gan Eden, and even though he wasn't in Gan Eden, but he was the generation of Gan Eden, so therefore...
It's entirely possible.
This first Gan Eden.
Right. Before the world.
Is that right. Possible?
Yeah, the question is when the potential got released. Yeah, I mean, it's all possible. It's all. I'm speaking generally speaking. Generally speaking, what Avraham Avinu tried to change and he, everything he tried came to fruition with Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, even though one would say that in his own lifetime he failed. I mean, because you see, the Nefesh Asu B'charon didn't last. You know, his real victory was 400 years later that, you know, what he planted germinated. That's what we're trying to explain.
The one thing I always had a problem with, if Hashem told Abraham that his children will be enslaved in Egypt.
That's correct.
And of course Yaakov knew about it.
Yes.
Why did he go down to Egypt? Even though there was a famine, he knew that that they're going to be put into slavery.
Yes.
Why did he do it?
Yeah, he knew it. And that's why he warned the children, Yes, they knew. They knew what they were heading towards. They knew what they were heading towards. That there's no two ways about it. But they were hoping that they could cushion the blow as best as possible. There is a chazal that Roy Yaakov there b'shalshal shabarzel that really Yaakov should have gone down to Egypt in chains. You know, and the slavery should have started immediately. And I can't remember what reason was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, suspended that, and he had the best years of his life in his 17 years in Egypt. But you're right. You know, he really said he really should have gone down in chains. You know, the shibud, the subjugation should have started right then and there.
Started 100 years later, right?
Yeah, something like that. You know, so the thing is that they knew it had to happen, but they were also hoping that they could cushion the blow and do some level of tshuva that to soften and sweeten it.
Listen, if they knew that it would happen, that means that inevitably it's going to happen. It's almost like get the wheels in motion.
So the Rambam doesn't know his tshuva. Why did Egyptians get punished? Well, they get punished because nothing was forcing any particular Egyptian to beat up on any particular Jew. The details were done by choice. The general state of affairs, but the details are up to free will. And that's why every Egyptian gets... Because nothing forced him to hit that particular Jew at that particular hour. God just provided the opportunity, but how the details unfolded were by individual choice. That's the Rambam's approach. And that's why they're fully culpable for what they've done. Okay, but what I get back to is this issue that the so Shem and Aver, felt that the world as a whole is hopeless. And so Noach also didn't go out preaching. All he did was he built the teva in his driveway, blocked a few other driveways. Got some attention. And anyone who cared to ask, because it's going to be a flood. We didn't go out preaching. No one cared either. So get it out of my driveway. It's hopeless.
They didn't believe in Hashgacha.
What?
They didn't believe in Hashgacha.
No, they believed in Hashgacha. They believed that this world is hopelessly sealed off from any divine revelation. It's a closed box. Like the Ches. And God is Baruch Hashem, he's up on high, he's Kel Elyon, and they served, and the believers served the God on high, not the God of the world. Rav is Vekor B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, he called out the name of God, the God of the world. He revealed Koneh Shemayim Varetz. Not revealed, he preached it. It didn't get revealed until Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything that Rav Avinu preached, that fell on deaf ears, God revealed through Avram Avinu's children 400 years later. And that's what it says, L'man saper shvi b'chol haaretz. God says, Paro, I know you're broken already, but I'm going to harden your heart so I can beat up on you more. L'man saper shvi b'chol haaretz, that my name should be spoken about throughout the earth. L'man teda ki ein kashem elokein. You should know there's none other like God. Yetzias Mitzrayim with all the fanfare, and Paro's willing to break already, but God says, no, you're not breaking yet, I'm still having fun, right, is, the Pasuk says, by the way, in order to publicize my name throughout the earth. So Avraham Avinu, he was speaking, with no miracles to back him up, but God did not forget that, and the payback was by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why Avraham Avinu already got the prophecy about Yetzias Mitzrayim, That's everything you're fighting for will come to fruition then. That's when the ches will break and become a hay. That's when we'll go from chametz to matzah. And we'll get to that deeper in a second.
I don't understand also it's a contradiction. They kept their names, they kept their clothes and minhag them and everything, and yet they were in 49 levels of tumah.
Yes.
But they separated from the Egyptians and they kept themselves.
That's
as a separate nation.
That's correct.
So why did they go down to the 49 levels?
It's pretty trying circumstances. I mean, it's the way it is with the Jews. As low as they go, they still keep themselves as a separate people. It's the way it is with them.
So why did they go down to such a low level?
They didn't have Jewish education. They didn't have a moment to breathe. When you're stressed out, the Yetzirah, that's when you need a lot of peace of mind to fight the Yetzirah. You cannot fight the Yetzirah when you're stressed.
In other words, you're saying that when you're stressed out, and you don't have peace of mind,
you
go down to a lower level.
Absolutely. It's black and white.
Think about us. It's the same thing.
No, it's black and white in Mesillas Yesharim, and Mesillas Yesharim brings Shibud Mitzrayim as a proof to this idea. You gotta take out time to think and get your bearing straight if you're going to beat the Yetzirah. Otherwise, you're just swept up with what goes on in life. You just don't have your wits about you.
That's very interesting.
And he brings a proof from Shibud Mitzrayim that the minute that Moshe Rabbeinu started, came and said, God says, let my people go. So Paro says, Tichbara Avoda. Right? We have to double the workload. because nirpim matem, you're obviously being lazy, and that's why l'cha you say l'cha nizbech alokenu, let's go sacrifice to Hashem. You've got time to think, I see. So that's when he stopped giving him straw to make the bricks. No, it shouldn't be time to think. And so Mr. Shram quotes all this and says that's why a person has to like take out time to make cheshbon ha-nefesh and get his bearing straight. Otherwise, you know, the Yetzer Hara, you know, that's the only way to fight him.
Okay. And what about the fact that Paro does not really have free will to let the Jews leave?
Right, so we said that, you know, that's just the opposite. Like Hashem says, first of all, he was no tzaddik. It's not like, you know, he deserved, he needed payback for a lot of bad stuff he did. But there was also a constructive purpose. It wasn't just about vengeance. It was about, like we said a minute ago, Hashem says, Leman Saper Shmi Bechards, in order to publicize my name throughout the earth. Right? Yitzias Mitzrayim, with all the fanfare and reveal miracles, is to reveal God within the world. And that's called to break the ches and make it into a hay, Zohar says.
So he didn't really have free will. Because
he didn't have free will, but it wasn't like he didn't deserve all 10 makos for what he had done previously before he lost his free will.
And another thing, the first commandment is Hotesi Yisham
Right.
That's really not a commandment, it's a statement. And he didn't say the first commandment, I created the world.
That's right.
I am the creator of the world.
Oh, that's a famous.
For me. I am the one who left you out of
right. The world. Right. So the Kuzri says on that. That because just the opposite. You know, what showed the whole world that there is a God was Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why God references, I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Right, why not, you know, that created heaven and earth? So the Kuzri's approach is because it has two meanings to it. First of all, I'm your God and no one else's, you know, because you're the ones who I took out of Egypt. But also, this is what made it apparent that there's a God. Right, this divine revelation, you know, in a way that everyone could see, that was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Never happened before that in history. Never happened before that in history. If a prophet had prophecy, he couldn't prove it.
Right.
If a prophet had prophecy, he couldn't prove it. The first time you find in the Chumash revealed miracles is with Moshe Rabbeinu. Goes to Paro, and makes the stick in it. You go through all Sefer Bereishis, not a single revealed miracle. Yeah, so I say, you know, so the question is, it's not in the Chumash, which means that there's some element about it that must have been hidden. Right? It didn't make it into the Chumash. That means that the Goyim must have had some way of explaining it away. You know, like the Chartu of Paro attempted to explain away, you know, what Moshe Ben was doing until they just couldn't anymore. So let's go a little bit deeper, and you'll see that the old world order is what we call chametz. The new world order is what we call matzah.
Yeah.
Right, that's, you know, that everything shift between tohu, alpayim tohu, and alpayim Torah is the difference between ches and hay, which is the difference between chametz and matzah.
Right.
Okay. So now, when we say the world was shapeless and formless for 2,000 years, now what are we talking about? It's nonsense. We're not talking about chaos. You know, these were big civilizations that there were. You know, that they were, you know, technologically advanced. You know, quite in consideration of how little time had passed since creation. You know, these guys were in there. They had architecture. They had music. They had metal work. You know, look at the Tower of Babel. You know, and look at all the pyramids and. What do we mean? What do we mean when we say tohu? When Chazal called that, you know, 2,000 years of world history is all tohu. When there were buildings, there were markets, yeah. You know, there was music. There was why do we call it tohu?
Because it was chaotic. We didn't have a structure.
No, there was a government. There was government.
We didn't have a moral structure. We didn't have mitzvahs. We didn't have the Torah. The Torah is the thing that takes us from Tohu to the Torah. That's about
right,
it.
Okay.
Well, they had they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in a central God. They believed that there were,
they didn't have a rule book.
I mean, the Torah was the fact that everything was mixed up.
But you will agree that it wasn't a physical mix-up. It was a moral mix-up.
Right.
But let's try to see how you could see the difference in life. So it's obviously not, you know, the chaos like the first day of creation, right? There is a certain semblance of order. Right, but we have to see, you know, the difference of, you know, how the order shifted when, pre-Avram Vinu, as opposed to post-Avram Vinu, which only comes to real fruition with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right. So, like it was correctly pointed out, right, that the what was missing from the world was Shem Shemayim, right, God's name. And that's why the Ramban points this out, not a coincidence that Sefer Shmos, which we just finished yesterday, Sefer Agula, ends with building of the Mishkan. Right? Amokom asher yivchar Hashem l'shakein shmo sham, a place for God's name to dwell. Yetzias Mitzrayim was about l'man tzaper shmi b'chol ha'aretz, and the fruition of that is the Mishkan, that you have a place where divine revelation will be there perpetually. And it's called where God's name is to be seen. Chol makom asher azkir eshmi avoy lecho birachticha refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Over there you're allowed to say the name Yudke Vavke. Kohen Gadol is allowed to say it. That's why the Mishkan is like the full fruition of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is to break God breaking in. And the Mishkan is like, you know, really setting up a permanent revelation of the divine name within this world. Now, this divine name, we spoke about this also on Tisha B'Av, right? In Esther's house, it was right on Tisha B'Av afternoon, right? We're discussing the tragedy of Churban HaBayis, that we don't have the name of God on earth anymore. That was the institution, the revelation of the name of God. What we have left of it on earth is the Torah, which is also the name of God, right? But, you know, we don't have the revelation of Beis HaMikdash, and it's called that we're missing centrality from our lives, because, you know, just like the Beis HaMikdash was in the center of the globe, center of Israel, which is in the center of the globe, it's also, it gives centrality to our lives, like even in the life of the individual. Chazal say, kol ma'asecha, everything you do, you, l'shem shemayim, should be for the sake of heaven, for the name of heaven. It gives us such joy that everything, the way we eat, the way we sleep, everything we do is all for the sake of heaven. Right? You know, it's everything should be pointing in that direction. That's the yud, that from all the four directions we're supposed to be moving towards. Which, by the way, that's the idea of the fourness of the Haggadah, the four questions, the four sons. All those four should be, the fifth is point center. Oh, should go from the four corners, move towards the center, and that's Shem Shemayim. And Churban HaBayis is that we're missing that centrality, and that's why we're in Golus, where everything is dispersed and scattered. No centrality. Right? But you know what centrality does, aside from it creates unity, but also it enables the forces of nature, because they have a common center point, to exchange information. Now, what's wrong with me is not what's wrong with you, and what's wrong with you is not what's wrong with me. If we could exchange information, you could supplement me, and I could supplement you, right? And the world will start evolving into a perfect world, like it is destined to be, like everything we learned in Derech Hashem. If you don't have the centrality of God's name on earth, why should anything combine with anything else? This is what, right? There's no common center that could cause things to move towards tikkun. Right? And that's what Chazal allude to. Knesia she'ena l'shem shemaim, any ingathering, any convergence. But it's not l'shem, it's not for the name of heaven. Ain't so for this kind, it won't last. It won't last. Shem Shamayim is the glue that holds things together, and it's the point center that could cause the forces of nature to exchange information in a positive way that could cause the world to evolve into a better world. Right? But without Shem Shamayim, the world's not going nowhere. World's not going nowhere. Ein chodesh tachas Hashemesh. Same old story. Same old story. So I said on Thursday night, for the name of my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, Ein chodesh tachas Hashemesh, but tachas hayareach, under the moon, there is new. That's why chodesh, lashon chadash. And the first mitzvah we got by Yitzchak is chodesh zelachem, bring newness to the world. But that's only with Shem Shamayim. You could bring this newness to the world. You could cause, you know, the forces of nature to combine and supplement each other. And that process has started ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim, life really got started. And we're moving towards the final Geula. The world changed, you know, because with the name of heaven on earth, now the forces of nature could exchange information in a positive way, and only in a positive way, not in a negative way. They won't neutralize each other. And that's why we have another chazal. Machlokes, shil shem shamayim, selfless kaim. A division and a divergence, that's shem shamayim, will also endure. The fire and water won't cancel each other out. Right? You know, we have a wonderful thing that the forces of nature only combine for the good, but they don't combine for the bad in a way that they will neutralize each other. And Shem Shamayim is the same factor in both. Knesia L'Shem Shamayim, a convergence L'Shem Shamayim, Sof L'Iskayim, and Machlokas, divergence L'Shem Shamayim, Sof L'Iskayim, because you need both. You need everything to have its own individuality that shouldn't be neutralized, but you also need things to exchange information and supplement. And Shem Shamayim performs both functions. It performs keeping everything in its gvul, that nothing neutralizes the other. And yet, that's machlokas of Shem Shamayim. And Shem Shamayim also causes things to converge when necessary. As opposed to without Shem Shamayim, you have just the opposite. Things get together and neutralize each other and cancel each other out. Or things don't ever add up in a positive way. So without Shem Shamayim, you have the opposite. You have only bad convergence and only bad division. And with Shem Shamayim, you have the opposite. You have good divergence and good convergence.
Could you give an example?
What keeps fire and water from canceling each other out? Everything is in its there's like invisible boundaries. Invisible travel bans, right? You know, keeping intrusions, yeah. All right. You know, there's borders, walls, right? Invisible walls between the cosmic forces that don't allow them to cancel each other out. That's Shem Shamayim. And there's also deep, on a deeper level, things are actually exchanging information and supplementing each other. And Shem Shamayim is doing that also.
It's like a contradistinction rather than a contradiction. It's a contradistinction rather than a contradiction. It's not negating one another. Rather, they have different elements that are you can uniquely point out, and they can both be at the same time.
If you're telling me that the world will be able to converge differently and diverge, then what you're saying is the whole setup of the world that is going to be different, that the gravity and all the thermodynamics and everything is going to change.
Yes, but in a good way, not in a bad way. It could change in a bad way where things, forces will cancel each other out, but it won't. It'll be a machlokas l'shem shemaim, and there'll also be a knesia l'shem shemaim.
And that will be after Mashiach comes?
It's happening already. It's been happening ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why, as it were, you know, Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh Aviv, right? You know, you're leaving now in the spring month. What? It was always spring, you know, man, there are four seasons, you know, right? No, because really, you have to look at it that the world wasn't blossoming before. Yeah, yeah, flowers grew, you know, but it was like part of the same old story. Now the world is beginning to blossom because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's progressing. It's not, the world wasn't progressing. The world wasn't going anywhere. It was just going in circles. But the real, as it were, the real cosmic spring was with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's how, and changed the world in the sense that, and the Radzin writes this, you know, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the world was just going in circles. So of course you have cold months, hot months. Now it's called that every year the world blooms another level. It's not going in circles. It's progress, not circles. Yeah, but it is only clear to the spiritually sensitive. So, but, you know, yet the world wasn't total chaos either. So I'll tell you, of course, there is a certain basic order to the world. And this the Ramchal writes in the Das Tfunis, says, you know, there's a certain basic order, but it's not going to take the world anywhere, but at least it doesn't get worse. And that's called higher and lower. Ze tachat ze. Right? Whether it's the food chain in the jungle, right? Whether it's the corporate world, whether it's politics, things fall into place. But it's not very satisfying when you think about it. There are people on top and there are people below. There are people in first place, people in last place. And that's how everything falls into order. It's not total chaos. Because you know, you have some guy on top of you who abuses you, but it's okay. Because you've got someone beneath you that you could take it out on. Who has someone beneath him who we could take it out on. Yeah. And then there's a person at the bottom of the chain. Right, but who cares about him? Right? And that's the order of how life falls into place in Tohu. So Tohu is not absolute chaos, but you know, it's all about Mi Barosh. Who's on top? Who was here first? What we call, in other words, simply time and space. So there, this was first, this was second, this is third, right? And there's also first place, second place, third place, time and space. And that's the Seder of the world in Tohu. But in that world, nothing's evolving. Just there's certain things on top, certain things on bottom. You know, people are privileged to be higher up on the food chain, or the corporate chain, or the political chain. The workplace, yeah, people on top, people below. But when it's stacked up like that, you know, the world's not evolving because no one's cooperating. Just some people are, you know, lorded over others, who lorded over others, who lorded over others. But that's better than absolute lawlessness, but that's not a world that's going to move anywhere. You're just waiting to assassinate, or you know, whether physically or politically, the guy on top of you and take his place. You know, so yeah, it's never going to the world's never going to evolve into a better place to live in that way, of you know, people, you know, the higher lording it over the lower. But at least it beats absolute chaos. So that's called that you know there's a basic order of time and space. It's something amazing that, you know, the great philosopher Kant said, and Einstein was very inspired by this, right? And that is time and space is all in the mind, you know? That's how we make order out of all the stimulus that's hitting us, right? So, you know, and that's what inspired Einstein to say that, you know, that it's a relativity. It's not an absolute thing. It's, you know, after all, but Kant had already said, it's all in the mind. Time and space. It's how the mind makes order out of things. We're bombarded with information. So we just, you know, we make Seder out of it. Seder. And that word's going to come up in again in a second. Seder. We make order out of it by just saying, this is here, this is there. This came first, this came second. This is on top, this is beneath it. And it's all in the mind. Is that order really true?
Sure, I think that therefore I am.
That was Descartes.
Yeah, isn't that what you're saying? Everything is in the mind?
That's right. That's right. It's all in the mind. Time and space is all in the mind.
Suppose there's no mind. That's right.
What?
Suppose there is no mind. Suppose there is no mind, then there is no space. And so, nothing is...
Yeah, it's all in the mind. I mean, the fact that it's like... It,
nothing
it's,
is abstract. Nothing is outside of our own perception.
No. You are your perception.
No, look, you know... All right, well, I don't want...
You might have... Your perception might be faulty. But that is how you see it. Do you have anything that exists that's outside of your realm of perception?
No, but I might not exist, but then there is some other person that exists. In other words, it's got to be some objective knowledge that says there is a world.
Okay, fine. There is, and our only connection to it is the Torah. Is the Torah, which came from above. Didn't come from speculation of, it came from above. It's revealed truth. That's right. Any human truth comes from within our perception. You know, this is, given truth. Right. So yes, there is something bigger than our perception. We know it because we have a Torah, and the Torah is not something that we made up. It was revealed. But anything that you make up, obviously, is a product of your perception. Okay, time and space, which is all in the mind, like we said. Right, and the question is that, is there any truth to that order? Answer, no. It's a big lie. Big lie. Big lie. Aside from the fact that everyone knows the famous Gemara, that one of the Chachamim had a near-death experience, and when he came back, they asked him, what did you see up there? He said, El Yoinim Lamata. In this world, everyone who's on high over there in the real world, you know, all people are getting all the COVID and have all that. In the Olam HaEmes, they're like, you know. And then over here, the downtrodden tzaddikim, they're the ones who are, right? We know this is an Olam HaSheker. And that's the Lashon that person came back said. El Yoinim Lamata. The ones who are on top, up there, are on the bottom. Right? But that's not just the time in terms of positions of prominence, who in our eyes is higher up on the food chain or in the corporate chain or in the political chain, but it's also as far as time. You know, everyone knows Rashi works with this extensively. Ein muktam u'me'ucher b'Torah. Rashi doesn't want to set up the Torah in chronological order. That's not... So now I'll prove it to you from the very, 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 very first pasuk in the Torah. Very first word. Bereishis, right? In the beginning. And so Rashi says, over here we need Divrei Agada. It's for Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. For Kaisos called the first. First, we were the last nation to arise out of the 70 nations. Aram Vina was, as far as, from the ancient nations, we were the last to arise. And yet we're called the first. Well, in concept, in value, we're the first. As far as purpose of creation, we're the first. Right? That's also the pasuk that we quote. It's also from Vartz Baram. The whole world is Bischus Avram. So yeah, even though he's 20 generations into the game. He's 20 generations into the game. And we say all those generations that came before him are because of him. Chronology is not truth. Even those who lived before him are for him. You know, the Rambam writes in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos on Zroim that what it means, all God has in his world is the four cubits of a man learning Torah. Right, the four amas, Daud amas shel halacha. So Rambam says, God tolerates so much excess. So much excess. Right? All these people running the globe, not serving him, but they are producing resources. They make money. And he talks about one guy, who is building a mansion that he doesn't really need. Right? It's a total waste. He won't even live long enough to to wear out a log cabin. But whatever, he does it. And whatever, halfway through, they put up the shell, and the guy, drops dead. All this waste. And why? So Saram says, because God tolerates it, because 300 years later, A tzaddik needs the shell to get out of the rain. Right? And that's what it means. You know, God is looking, you know, time, who came first doesn't mean anything. Right? Sometimes people, a person could live 1,000 years in advance, and it's for the sake of someone who will come after him 1,000 years later. Who was here first doesn't mean anything. The position that you take up doesn't mean anything. But that's the secular way of life. Who was here first and who was in first place? Time and space. You know another way of expressing time and space? Chametz. What's chametz? Give it time, and the more time you give it, the more space it takes up. Chametz. Chametz is time and space. As opposed to matzah, it's made very, very, very fast and it doesn't take up much space. How did Donald Trump say, I'm president of the United States, and you're not? Okay. Yeah, I have a position. You don't have that position. Right? As he told the fake news. The, right, it's reversed to it. Okay, but it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Right? The real world order, the real game is not time and space. And now you can understand the Lashon of Chazal. Russia. Sometimes the Russia that the hour is just on his, the moment is on his side. The Russia lives in time and space. Right? That's his world. And that's why his good luck is called Hasha'a Misachekislo. You know, the moment is playing in his favor. But that's his whole world. If you get out of a world where time and space doesn't make a difference, it's all about values.
Is that
and
the
I doubt
difference it. Between the Abba Bonim, the Abba Bonim, the Chacham and the Russia? The Chacham is talking about Hilchos Pesach, which is out of time and space, and the Russia is talking about...
That's an interesting idea. I never thought about it.
I mean, I'm just getting it from you.
Yeah, but that's the thing, you know. You know, and we have been stuck in Chametz. We have been stuck... So Chametz is like a whole different world order. So it's not just that, you know, it makes the Yetzirah stronger, because we know that the Yetzirah in Sarif is called Seor Shebeisa, the leaven in the dough. The dough is man, right? Because like he was clumped up from earth. It's Chazal. That's why women bring challah, because she defiled the dough of the earth. That's a Lashon Chazal. That's why we give them the mitzvah of challah, because she defiled chaloso shel olam. She defiled the challah of the world. Man, Adam is challah that God took from earth. Right, clumped them together from the dough, which was the earth. Right, so aside from the how it makes you it makes the Yetzirah stronger. And here's something which I can never get over. I heard this actually years ago. Went to a program on Pesach, and a lecturer, it's like the smartest thing he said. You know, the other divrei I didn't care for, but he made an interesting observation that still astounds me every time I think about it. Right. You know, it's obvious that we believe that all the imperfections of the world are caused because the world's adulterated with evil. That's why we're mortal. But even on a more broader scale, that's why things rot and don't, because things aren't perfect, because everything's adulterated with evil. And loss and love, just like people won't die anymore, nothing will decay anymore either. The death force will be removed from the world. Right? So here's an interesting observation. Everyone, you have to try to remember to do this, to eat some matzah on Pesach Sheni. It's a worthwhile custom, we should mark Pesach Sheni because it's a certain landmark in our progress that we make during the Omer. Right? If you have any matzah around the house, Pesach Sheni, right? It's perfectly edible. I'm not saying it's as nice and crisp. I'd like to see the loaf of bread that can make it from Pesach to Pesach Sheni. Isn't that amazing? It rots. Matzah could last a whole year and still be edible. I'm throwing out every Erev Pesach, I throw out last year's matzah. There's always some left over.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly edible. It's not yummy, but it's not, It's amazing, so amazing to think about. You know, it's just the, and whereas a regular piece of bread doesn't last even 3 days.
Very, very interesting.
Just Bamish point out how matzah is like the pure essence, pure goodness, and that's why it lasts. And all that chametz, all that how it's puffy.
I like that.
That time and space, it's all evil. It's all evil, and that's why it rots so quickly. It's infested with evil. Right? But what the point I'm getting to is that chametz is a whole world order. It's the secular perspective on life, how to make the ones on top, the ones on bottom. The ones who got there first, the ones who got there second, time and space. And that's how you can understand why on Pesach it's not just about not eating chametz, it's about not having chametz in your house. You are out of chametz. We break out of the bread box. Breaking out of the bread box, I call it. Right? You know, it shouldn't be in chametz. That's why it's the Bal Yirah, Bal Yematzeh. Got to destroy it. Yitzias Mitzrayim was breaking out of the boundaries that we call time and space, which is what we call chametz, breaking out of the secular perspective on life, that same perspective that held back shame and aver from wanting, feeling that it was possible to even change the world. That world order that Avraham Avinu refused to recognize. Right? But he didn't succeed in convincing anyone long term. And he knew that. He knew he wouldn't succeed, and that's why he was so determined, you know, God, I want a son, because I know I could depend on my son to carry on my legacy. You know, he had plenty of Talmidim who were also called Bonim, but he knew that wouldn't last, right? But by Yitzias Mitzrayim, we broke the boundaries, we broke out of Chametz, and that's what the Zohar says, Ches Itbar, the Ches broke and became a Hay. Finally, everything that Avraham Avinu preached happened. Right? And now, and you could understand, you know, now the Mem and Tzadi, it's written elsewhere in the Zohar. You know, it's written Mem and Tzadi in Atbash. Atbash means you exchange Aleph for Tav, a Beis for a Shin, right? A Gimel for a Resh, a Dalet for a Kuf. Mm-hmm. Mem and Tzadi in Atbash are Yud and Hey.
Mem
and Tzadi are Yud and Hey. In Atbash. When we do a mitzvah, it's a code, it's Yod and Hey, and you know, it's when we do a mitzvah, we are secretively drawing energies from the world above into this world. So it's, that's why the word mitzvah, you know, the Mem and Tzadi is Yod and Hey in code. And the Vav and Hey, which is the programming for this world, is openly revealed, because that's what we see. When we do a mitzvah, we're injecting, like we learned in Darshan, we're injecting energy into this world.
Right?
So now, Chametz, the Ches is blocking, Ches comes first, blocking out the Mem and Tzadi, keeping it blocked out. Right? When you break the Ches, and you make it a Hey, right? Make it the world that it's a world of opportunity to progress to Olam Haba. It's a prosdor b'fei Olam Haba. Right? Right? When once you have that perspective, so the hey goes to its place at the end of the word, say, you know, because the Mem and Tzadi representing the Yud and Hey are above us, you know, we want to bring it in. We want to follow what God wants. But first you have to become a hey, and then when you become a hey, you put yourself where you belong. The hay naturally imports itself, moves itself to the end of, to become matzah. And matzah is this world ready to become influenced by the world above. Ready to be influenced by the world above. So the world above, oh, ready to be influenced. Ready to be influenced. And that's what we do on Pesach, and that's called Leil HaSeder. We bring the real order into the world, the order of values, the order of ethics, the world order of Ratzon Hashem, the order of Shem Shemayim, as opposed to the world order of Chametz, You don't have chametz around anymore. There's no chametz in our reality. We're out of the bread box. Right? So now on Pesach, we just set up this world as being in a state of being ready to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ready to receive. He's not blocked out anymore. We broke the box. He's not blocked out anymore. Ready to receive. Now, and during, like we learned in Derech Shem, during the 7 days of Pesach, we're sterilizing the world. It's a sterile perimeter to set up the world in being just ready to receive from God, and there should be no distractions, no disruptions. There should be no chametz, which also represents there should be no Yetzirah around to distract us. But you know, growing up is all about being able to face challenges. Right? The katan, right? The minor, right? He's not responsible for his actions. Right? But, you know, when he becomes a gadol and he becomes a bar das, now he's responsible because you have das. So you now you respond, you should be able to, yeah, there's the Yetzirah, you should be able to outwit him, you should be able to fight him back. Right? And that's when he be, and at that point he becomes bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. He's now responsible for his actions. He has mitzvahs. He's a bar mitzvah. The Jewish people went through the same evolution. We were born on Pesach, and that was matzah. Matzah. And you know, and during the 7 days of Pesach, which is connected our infancy, right? You know, we're not supposed to have any chametz around. You know, you can't expect a child to do anything right, choose anything. You know, right? But then during the so that's the first week. Only matzah, and there's no chametz anywhere. But then there's, you know, as your mechanech child, right? So you let him, you know, he does mitzvahs mishum chinuch, and he starts facing small challenges. He's in training, you know, training, until he's finally fully bar mitzvah. And then you say, okay, now you're on your own, and now face life. Now, this is back then. People who were grown up at the age of 13. Right? Now it's like 63 or something like that. But the and then you have these mini challenges along the way. And then it's okay. Now you could face the world with all the evil and conquer it for the Kedusha. Right? And that's the days of the Omer. The following 6 weeks is we grow up. Right. And on Shavuos, when we actually get the Torah, that's our bar mitzvah. That's when we become mechuyev in mitzvahs. It happened literally, in the most literal sense. Matan Torah. You are now, God gave us mitzvahs. Right? We became mechuyev in mitzvahs. And it's called at that time, we got our das. We got das Torah. We had, you know, got the Torah. You know. We're now a bar das. We have das Torah. So what do we do on Shavuos? Shtei Alechem, which are chametz. Now we could face chametz, and we could even incorporate chametz into our avodas Hashem. We can conquer it. We're big enough.
That cheesecake, right?
That's the cheesecake. That's all that cheesecake, right? Now you know how to deal with it.
Right.
No, but and that's what the Zohar says, that after the another additional 6 weeks of the Omer, Yadavav to matzah becomes mitzvah. We're big enough to face the chametz. Meaning, no, but it's like you understand, it's much bigger. During the days of the Omer, the 6 weeks, chametz is mutter, but it ain't no mitzvah, right? On Shavuos, there's a korban that's chametz. Shtei Alechem. Because, you know what? Like we said in other forums, that thing that's evil, we're going to conquer it, and we're going to convert it into Tov Ma'od. We spoke about this not too long ago. We're going to make the Tov into Tov Ma'od. We're going to conquer the evil and convert it into good. And we're in a position to do that after Yetzias Mitzrayim, first to get life straight. Then we have the Omer period when we're growing up. You know, Shavuos, we reach maturity, we become Bar Mitzvah after those additional 6 weeks. And now we could conquer the chametz. Now bring the chametz on, bring it on, and we're going to make a carbon out of it.
What carbon are you talking about?
Shtei Alechem. The special two breads brought on the Shavuos. That's one of the reasons, you know, eat milchiks and fleishiks to differentiate that the... Because one bread will be milchik, the other one will be fleishik. You know, for those who do the double menu thing. It accentuates the difference between the two loaves of bread. The Vav, 6 weeks of the Omer after the first week, which is Pesach.
I'm a little bit ignorant about that. The Shtei Halechem, do we eat
it? Was a special carbon. No, the Kohanim eat it,
I do believe.
You know, not that knowledgeable about it either, because Bavon Osenu, it hasn't, we haven't done it since Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But Solas Tiena Chometz Te'ofena. They're big chometz. Because now we're big enough to conquer it and incorporate it and make it into the good. You know, first week, sterile space. After that, it's mutter, but we certainly wouldn't say that we could use it for our Avodas Hashem yet. You have to be a big bardas for that. But by Shavuos, already, you know, it's the one time a year as far as I think. No, it's a carbon total also, but that's the... It comes from the chametz. We can now incorporate it. But here's what we want to explain. You know, it's the difference between chametz and matzah is the difference between the world order of Tov versus the world order of Tikkun. But it's the world order of Tikkun when it's still in its infancy. It becomes more sophisticated with Limud HaTorah, and it goes from matzah to mitzvah. And when it goes to matzah to mitzvah, that's why chametz is mutter. We could face off with it. Like Chazal say, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlet. I created Yetzer Hara, but I gave you an antidote also. It's called the Torah. But during Pesach, we don't have the Torah yet. Right? So that's why you have only matzah and no chametz. Because you don't have the Torah Tavlin, you don't have the antidote. So it's sterile space. Just getting life straight yet. You know, breaking out of the bread box, getting life straight. But it's just life itself in sterile space, sterile perimeter. Comes Shavuos, we have the Torah Tavlin, so now we can really face off with the Yetzer Hara. And that's why on Shavuos, we have Chometz. Even in our Avodas Hashem, because we have the Torah Tavlin that gives us the Das to conquer it and incorporate it and turn it into good. All right, these were the reflections I wanted to share with you. I want to share a chag kosher v'sameach, and we'll figure out, you'll have to talk amongst yourselves how we will proceed after Pesach.